Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
And welcome to another episode of Talk Straight, a radio format via podcast that allows us to reach a national audience as we discuss issues that are facing families and communities on a daily basis. We're grateful for the past year so far that we've been able to engage you, our listening audience, in some very important topics. And we continue that as we prepare to wrap up 2017 and go into 2018. Our hope is that you've learned something and that our conversation, our dialogue, is instructional, is supportive, and is useful to all of us. This talk show serves as a catalyst for us to reach targeted cities across urban America, with the hopes of addressing the needs specifically of at-risk males who struggle to find themselves and to understand how to be successful in the context of the societal stressors and struggles that we so often hear and see. Yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Docker, is your host, and again, we're happy to have you here. We're thankful for all of those of you that have joined us thus far, and we hope that you continue to stay with us. Despite the fact that parents have been rearing children since the beginning of time, there are people today who struggle to know how to properly guide their children through life successfully. Now, oddly enough, there are many examples of productive young people deriving from the most challenging experiences. However, too many young men fall prey to the trap, as my good friend Pastor Ricky Wallace says, or the circumstances that keep them from seeing success. Not that they're bad people, not that they don't want to be successful like anybody else, but it's a trap. And when the trap is set and you don't know it's there, you become a victim. Our purpose is to educate, and tonight we're going to speak from that approach, and I endeavor to share with you a scientific approach to rearing a successful young man, even if he's African-American and grew up in the ghetto or on the streets from challenging social circumstances. I'm going to tell you how you can rear and raise a successful young man. You may have seen on our promotion on Facebook that we identified a little boy that started at birth with certain guidance, spiritual guidance, and he had pro-social orientation. And he grew to become athletically inclined and physically fit. But he presented himself ultimately as an outstanding, productive young man. What I share with you is not what I think, not what I heard, but what I know to be so. There are many of you who have the same type of experience and background that has not been properly tapped into that can make a difference for a lot of people. The number to call tonight is 657-383-0944. I encourage you to join the conversation line. Thank you, Facebook friends, for joining us. Call us tonight, 657-383-0944. And I see we have callers in queue. Bear with us there. Be right with you. And as normal, we're going to offer a monologue which will provide context for our conversation tonight. And should we need to, we'll always go back to that monologue as a frame of reference for our conversation. The expectation is not that everybody will agree with me or with one another. The idea is that our varying views hopefully will allow us to come to some resolution, some conclusion. But I am deliberate and intent on offering information that will help us save our young men. It's possible. I've had people tell me that everybody ain't going to be saved. Well, I'm going to do like the devil I can, do everything I can. Amen? And it's probably true that we won't get all of them. But doggone it, the devil, when he leave me, he's going to have a hickey on his head. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Let me stay focused. Let me stay focused. Again, the number to give us a call here is 657-383-0944. And as we go into our monologue and we wrap that up, we'll open up the phone lines live here this December 5th, 2017. Tonight we're speaking from the topic, Characteristics of a Successful Young Man. Characteristics of a Successful Young Man. Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, 6th verse, very familiar passage of Scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Jesus spoke in Matthew's 3rd chapter in the 17th verse, and this is what he said. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The scientific method in general has about 6 steps. It's a body of techniques or strategies for investigating what they call phenomena of situations or conditions, okay? And it allows you to acquire new information or knowledge about what's going on, right? Or even it will guide you into correcting a wrong. Are y'all walking with me? Right? And interpreting new information or knowledge. Tonight, that's what we want to do. I'm going to offer you a scientific approach to rearing a successful young man. It is possible. Don't let nobody tell you it ain't. Now, let me just say, now, if you want it, it's for you. Some people don't want to be disciplined to the process, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. All right. So the scientific method, that's what it's all about, strategies, techniques, okay, to address circumstances, conditions. I'm going to offer you 6 steps as related to raising a young boy. And ideally, I realize that in every situation, you don't have the same conditions. There are a number of reasons why young boys grow up in homes without fathers. Even if they have a male figure there, they're not a father figure. I get that. What I'm saying to you, that if you're planning a family, and even if you have a ready-made family, and you're seeking ways that you can reconstruct the orientation for your children, here's something for you to consider. All right? Number one. From birth, as a parent, you make observations of what the child, the baby's interest seems to be, their skill sets, and their motivational drive. Christmas is coming, and people are going to be buying toys for their children. Now, if you get your child some toys that don't challenge their intellectual abilities, there you go. But if you provide manipulatives or shapes and colors, and you provide puzzles and things of that nature, age appropriately, of course, you'll be able to observe what that child gravitates to. If you provide a certain structure for them, you'll be able to observe how they act or they respond. It's interesting, when Jesus put Adam, the text suggests in Genesis that man was made, and there's strong inference that he was placed in a structured environment under certain conditions, right? And there were expectations for him there. Are y'all walking with me? Okay, let us make a man. We're going to talk about it. So you're making observations about this child. Now, that means you got to have your stuff together to do that. See, a lot of times we put too much on mama. Daddy, I'm talking to you right now. This is a helpful piece for you to be aware of your children. All right? Two, based on your early observations from birth, you form a question. That question is simply, what single skill could or should I or my spouse and I focus on developing in this child after we've observed him from birth? That kind of helps you. That's in line with the text. Train up a child in what? The way. What is that way? That is the specific skill set that your child has. Each one of them got a gift from the Creator, from Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God. You've got to take time as a parent to identify what that gift is. That's not the public school. That's not the social service. That's not the government. That's you, mama, daddy. That's your job. All right? You base your observations on this, and you form that question. From that question, you develop a hypothesis, an assumption about where you think that child is likely to go. Then you begin to create for that child an environment that's conducive for them to grow and develop and to build and strengthen them skills. Okay? It's very similar to how you, and I'm going to talk about that in just a second, physical fitness, right? You develop those skills for them, and you prepare them in such a way that they can unconsciously go down a certain road where they grow and develop. You don't necessarily have to tell them that's what you're doing, but that's your job as a parent. All right? So you develop this hypothesis, this pathway for them. Then you use your hypothesis to conduct an experiment. If I make it a practice, a habit, a rule, and I provide incentives and motivation for an expected behavior, for the land, the ceiling I set for my child, the expectations, how can I encourage that and get the maximum out of it? Not for me, but for your child. Unconsciously, what your son is doing is being developed now in a way that is scientific, that can be replicated, that you can document. In fact, after you conduct your experiment through your controlled environment, developing this young man, then what you'll do is you'll take those observations and you'll take note of them by way of a journal. Well, doctor, that's too much. I ain't got time to do that. I got to feed them. I got to clothe them. Listen, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. If you don't do it, the devil will be looking for them in them streets, and he'll be glad to do it for them. Be happy to do it for them. Take the time. Document what you find to be their strongest skill set and abilities. And when you do so, you will have a story to tell that is well documented. Pictures is a good example. Pictures with them is a good example, right? When you're at the dinner table, when you're praying, when you're at church, when you're at other social functions, you develop a story about how this child is developing at various stages. And you can always go back and teach that story to the child so that they'll be aware of how they grew up and how they developed. All right? Then lastly, in the sixth stage, what you want to do for this young man is you want to share with him what you've documented, you and your wife, or if you're a single parent, and or you're a surrogate figure. You share with them what it is your conclusions are. This is what we've observed your best skill and talent is, son. And if you go this way, you'll likely find success. We hypothesize, we've assumed that if you stay on this course, you'll be successful at something. I let me calm down because I'm feeling my health right now. And I didn't come to preach, but if I had to preach, I would today. But okay, all right. All right, let me keep myself together. My wife often tells me, stay focused. Amen. All right. So I want to focus on four key strategies that you use the scientific method for. And the first one is spiritual instructions. Make it your business to provide spiritual instructions to your baby. How you do that? Baby don't know what's going on. That's true, but you do. When your child hears your voice praying and giving God praise, when your child sees you and mama together praying, the deliberate efforts of parents should be focused on providing example of faith practice and expression in front of your children. Male child needs to be taught at an early age as they grow up that the Creator is the source of your being. And you should, like the text said, acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He'll direct your path. That is the core of his success. When he learns that he didn't make himself, and no matter how big he gets, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. But with God, all things are possible. If you acknowledge him in all your ways, he'll direct your path. I'm trying to help somebody tonight. I'm trying to help somebody. It's how you make a boy. See, a lot of young men in the street, what they miss out on is understanding that, baby, you need to go realize how you got here and where the source of your real strength is, where the real source of your strength is. Amen, somebody. All right. All right. Listen, he should be encouraged to aspire to one day become a father priest himself. Father priest, father priest. What that mean, doctor? What that mean? That means that as a father, you are just like God. You replicated, right? And you gave, the Bible said, be fruitful and to multiply. In the context of family and marriage, though, right? And as a priest, you provide spiritual guidance to your children, just like your father did to you. That gives a man structure, and it gives him focus. And as this young man grows, aspiring toward that, it's not easy for anybody to call him off the path of success. Because he know what his purpose is every day of his life. He know what he's looking for. But if a cat don't know where he's going and his mind is everywhere, it's easy for him to be drawn by every wind and doctrine. Everything somebody got to say, whatever look good or feel good, he's going with it. But if you know what your purpose is and you focus on that, your reward is delayed. Not instant, but it's delayed, and you know that there's a reward there. All right? In addition to that spiritual example instruction, he needs pro-social instruction. What do you mean by pro-social doctrine? Over his years of growth, the father or surrogate father figure should be his coach. When you go in the bathroom, you show him how to TT and properly clean up behind himself. Amen, somebody. Show him how to bathe and how to wash himself. Oh, mama can do that too. I'm not saying mama can't do that. I didn't say that. What I'm telling you is when a man demonstrates it to her, it's a different story. Because what he ultimately aspires to be is a what? Is that man himself. When you show him how to interact with his mother, his sister, his aunties appropriately, he learns then how to respect a woman Don't nobody ever have to tell him to show respect to him because he has seen that in action. I mean, Daddy, you can't be talking crazy and acting like a fool. You understand what I'm saying? And you have to tell him that there's an appropriate way and an inappropriate way to engage. Even other males, your brothers, your cousins. This is what I mean by pro-social. And you got to learn that when you go out, you may be good at something, but you can't be arrogant and boastful and try to run the whole show. Make room for other people. Be good at what you do, but make room for other people and recognize other folks' gifts too, as well. All right? Now, here's what get a lot of young cats. When they get up to be preteens, teenagers, and they have a bunch of natural energy and the naive imagination, and they don't have structure in their daily activities, it's easy for their imagination to take them all kind of places. Understand something about the sex drive, okay? A major part of the sex drive is psychological, and it's about channeling energy. And many fellas, when you look at those who even rape people or abuse people or inappropriate, it's about power and control. This male wants to demonstrate their ability to conquer. Now, just imagine if your imagination, you're not sitting around all day thinking about these things because you're busy, right? And where am I going? I'm saying that this is where physical fitness, when a young man orientates in his daily or regular routine exercise and healthy habits, diet, he can manage his time in a way that his body can be brought under subjection. And his spirit man is already intact, and now his body is in subjection with the spirit. Burn that energy to where you can go to sleep. It's 24 hours in a day. Man got to have time for work, some time for rest and relaxation, and some time to praise God. Balance your time. But if most of the time all you're thinking about are things that are insignificant, you're going to find yourself drifting away and your imagination take you all kind of vain places. All right? So physical fitness is key for this young man. That's a component as well. All right? Then lastly, scholastic aptitude. Young men need to understand that you need to learn about who you are and where you are and what's going on in the world around you. And that's what I mean by scholastic aptitude. He needs to develop a healthy desire for learning and seeking knowledge because knowledge is power. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall. Is that right? I wish I had a witness now. The truth will make you free. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. And all thy getting, get an understanding. Okay, let me stay focused, Doc. Stay focused. So what am I saying? I'm saying that he needs to understand that the benefit of an education, a formal structured education, even beyond the home environment, allows you to appreciate other people in society and in the world abroad. And it gives you an appreciation for where those people are in relationship to where you are. Then you can keep yourself circumscribed and do bounds with other men. Okay, this is a very, very key aspect, and I'm about to open up the phone lines here now. This is Talk Straight, the number 657-383-0944. Clarence Carter, blues singer, and he sang some songs that some people may not like, but he got a song. He wrote a song. All righty. Callers, are you there? If you can hear me, bear with me. We're having some sort of little technical difficulty in the studio here, but bear with me. I think we're getting back to a point where we can pull you in live. Okay, now I think there we go. There we go. You there, caller?
Yeah.
Are you there, caller?
All right.
Pastor Waller.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Waller, can you hear me? Pastor Wallace.
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you.
804-4306. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Great. I apologize for the difficulty. I don't know. Somehow the computer decided it was going to clown on me tonight. But okay, we'll go with that. Were you guys able to hear the monologue at all?
Oh yeah,
we heard pretty much everything. You was ready to talk about a song.
Yes, Patches with Clarence Carter, and it looks like thing is still trying to.
I was so ragged, girls used to call me Patches. Papa used to tease about it. Well, deep down inside, he was hurt because he'd done all he could. Now, while Papa was a great old man, he was just a great old man. I can see him with a shovel in his hand. See, education.
I think you got a sense of what Clarence Carter was saying in his song. He raised his son, by example, to one day take care of the family. And when he was on his dying bed, he said to him, "This is what I was preparing you for. Now I want you to keep the farm and the family together." Given that background in our monologue, any question or comment thus far? Welcome, Pastor Ricky Waller, our regular panelist, to the show. And 804-4306. I think, is this the first time calling?
No, sir. This is Dawn.
Hey, where you been all my life?
Hey. I have been waiting for Tuesday. I've been waiting for Tuesday and Friday to come around just to give me some good old word and listen to what's going
on.
All right.
Thank you so much, Dawn. I know you've raised your sons, Dawn, and I can only imagine that it hadn't been easy for you. I assume you a single parent. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. So I think you may have some challenge to some of my assertions about this scientific approach to raising boys or perhaps questions that you might have. Let me open myself. Pastor Waller, just stay with us just for a second. Let me open myself to those, Don. Any questions or comment about that?
I agreed with you 150% of it. With the six characteristics, with the four keys, first of all, I want to say all praises to God. All praises to God.
Amen.
Not only did I get through with raising those four guys. Sunday, I was blessed to walk across the stage to receive my degree with my sons watching me.
No, you didn't.
Oh, yes, I did. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It was like a couple of things you hit on, and one was like, it was so much. And I always tell my youngest son, because raising my other three boys, I was so young and I was so hard on them because I didn't want them to go through what I went through. And I had them at a young age, and I meant that I wasn't going to let them, the streets get them or anything else. So when it came to me raising this younger one, it was like, you know, I was a little bit more lenient on them, but I saw that wasn't, It wasn't helping me at all. It wasn't helping me. So, you know, I done buckled down on them. I don't spare the rod at all anymore. I teach them by showing him what to do. You know, I practice what I preach. You know, I did school. You know, I showed them that I was dedicated to my homework and I made the grade. And I tell them every day, you know, You do what you have to do right now, so you can do what you want to do later on. And it comes down, I mean, for everything, making your bed, doing homework, taking out trash. You got to do these things that you have to do right now in order to do the things that you want to do. Because if you don't do them, then you're not getting nothing done. Nothing done.
That's right. That's right. I mean, and sometimes we think it's too much for smaller children. But they are processing information, and they're sharper than you think, than often we give them credit for. You know, now I don't mean
I tell my sons all the time, like, I'm not going to be leaning on you because the world not going to be leaning on you.
No.
I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it.
That's right. That's right. Pastor, any comment?
I mean, I just love what you said, man. You know, I think that's a real mother for you, you know?
Yeah.
And I commend you for what you have accomplished and everything. That's just beautiful to hear. You're very welcome. You know, and it's wonderful how you present Pastor Dockery by being trained, you know, to train up a child. And it sounds like that's what she was able to do. And then once she started to raise up, she discovered that wasn't good. And so she went and did what I know a person would do if he's coming off the pitches on the baseball mound. You know, he would come down and the coach would tell him to bat down. And that means that when you're on that mound, you know, you go at it. And I think that's an outstanding thing to be able to know that she did, man. I praise God for that. The word of God being that it said, train up a child in the way he should go. And I think about the times of not knowing anything about the Bible, I'm like, well, where is the training going to come from? And so a lot of times the training comes from examples that people set before children,
correct,
and they pick up pretty quick. And even quicker now than ever from years, I'm seeing how fast they would be able to acknowledge things that's right before them. And I think sometimes, man, I'm looking at the situation, I'm saying, man, is this good or bad right here? Because what the enemy uses is tools, you know, his schemes, you know. And I like, you know, the last part of that verse when he says, in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. And that means you have to have something instilled in this person or these kids. And then that way, because other than that, there is a trap that's awaiting for even those that's been trained up to lure them in. And, you know, and I'm just so I'm so appreciative of knowing and hearing that it gave me a chance to know, because I got a couple of few grandbabies now. You know, they all came around about close and near around the same time. I don't have one that's even two yet. And about to approach one now, getting ready to be four. Man, I'm telling you, just the thought of knowing and watching and seeing another generation without being trained, man, in a proper way with good examples and things like that. Even with good examples, I noticed something, that the enemy still has to do his thing and go at him. And I'm going to say this. Isn't it amazing? And then I noticed here, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, there had no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. You know, and then he said, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And a lot of pain sometimes when you get in a trap and you don't know how to escape it. And you've had proper training and things like that, and the enemy is still out there trying to find out who he can devour. And that's young people, children. You know, that eye for what they see. Go ahead.
Let me turn our focus to Dawn, the young man that doesn't have the benefit of someone with your wisdom, Pastor, or someone with the understanding that you bring or the information that we share. Some people believe that they're lost. And they're lost cause. You just give up on them. I'm talking about a 17, 18-year-old, Don, who in years is 17, 18. But when you really have a conversation with them and you work with them, you realize they are functionally on the level of a 9 or 10 year old.
Huh.
And they're just grappling in the dark trying to figure out how to make it. One of the reasons why they can't do anything on their own, because they need a group or somebody else to validate their sense of purpose and direction and reason for being. I'm not saying they're a bad person. I'm simply saying that where there is an opportunity, and I hear people, Don, say all the time, it started home. That's true, isn't it? That's some truth to that, isn't it? But suppose the home don't have the information. Then what? Then what? So the police, the judge, the governor, the mayor, they cannot legislate this moral fiber and this persona that we're talking about. But who has the authority but the church to teach and to promote these values we're talking about? Nobody has that but the church. But what if the church don't know it? Talk to me about that, y'all. Suppose the church don't know the truth.
Oh, my.
Then what? Then where we at, Don?
We in trouble. That's what we had. We in trouble. I have a testimony to that, though. I'm truly blessed. I'm so truly blessed. With my four boys that I birthed, I was gifted a godson, my oldest son, best friend. They were in the 9th grade. And he came to me one day. You know, he used to come to the house after school, and, you know, they used to eat noodles, play the game and stuff. And he came to the house one day, and he sat on the porch, and he just cried. I mean, broke down and cried. And he was just like, I don't want to live no more. And I was just like, and I cried with him. You know, I cried with him. I didn't say anything at first, and then I told him, I don't know what's going on, and you really got to talk about it, but if you need me, I am here for you forever. And from next day up until today, I raised him. I mean, people gave up on him. Teachers, the neighborhood, they said he won't go make it. He was horrible. He had a bad attitude. You know, he told me so many things about his mother being an alcoholic and, you know, used to go in public. And, you know, he just went without love, without guidance, without that support for so long. I gave it to him. I treated him like I birthed him. To this day, like, he is a full-blown grown man now. He went to the Army. He now has his HVAC degree or certificate. He has his own place, a nice car. He asked me to come and cook tonight for him, and I was on my way, and he was like, Ma, I got to go meet with my female friend. Can you come tomorrow? And I was like, baby, you sure? He was like, yeah, you just come tomorrow. And I'll be right there tomorrow for him, because, those boys don't understand. I might have been, like, their savior to them, but they were actually my savior. Without them, I wouldn't have known what I would have been doing, you know? Right. So they don't have an idea that they saved me.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut
you off. That's interesting. I love you.
Yeah,
no, it's okay.
I
just praise God and I thank God for giving me these gifts, and I ask him, and I just ask him to direct me and use me, you know, just use me.
Tell me this, Don. How does someone bring this type of information that we're bringing tonight to an area where there are other mothers who struggle to understand how to reach their young men? How do they do that, in this time, in this age where you can't trust people, you got pedophiles and you got people that are sick and messed up, you know, and some of them are wearing cloth, they're wearing crosses, and they say they're preachers and teachers and everything. You understand what I'm saying? How do you get around that, Don? How do we break that ice with mothers who really are looking for help for their sons so that they can trust the message and they can trust the protocol? That's what we're sharing, a protocol,
right?
A structured process. How do we break the ice with them, Don?
You know, it's really nothing like a testimony. once somebody hear what you're going through and they can just say, that sounds just like my story. I mean, it's just like going to see a counselor that's never been through what you've been through. You really don't want to talk to them. You can't trust them. They ain't been what you've been through. You kind of shaky there because you really don't know where I'm coming from. You just got your little degree or something.
I see.
But when find somebody who has been through and walked that path, like, it just make you feel like you've known them forever. Like, you got it's like a spiritual, like, magnet that will, you know, people can fake you out. But that gut feeling, it'll never lead you wrong. Like, it'll never lead you wrong. Like they say, trust your gut. And you get this feeling sometimes when people are talking and you just, you know. So a testimony is worth, like, 1,000 words, really.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so what I'm hearing us say, Pastor, is that by bringing mothers in the room, and having them to tell you what's real, what's on the ground, and then responding in such a way that you come in and offer them the missing pieces to their puzzle. Don, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Am I on the right track, Don? Help me out now. You're on the right track.
You're on the right track. Yes, sir. You're on the right track because, you know, some of them just lost. They feel like they lost their kids, you know.
So here's the thing, though, Don. Oftentimes when people come, they assume I got the answer. Hey, Don. Oftentimes when people come, they assume I got the answer, so you're supposed to just stand down, be quiet, and listen to and do like I tell you. Well, you don't really know until you hear from them. Is that right, Don? That's what I'm hearing from you.
That's right. You really don't know till you hear from them. I mean, because if you speak before they actually tell you what's going on, they kind of like, you know, they close themselves away because it's kind of like, you know, you're pointing a finger before they get to tell you their side. You know?
Almost like you're judging.
Without you knowing that you're judging them because you're hitting home so much. You hit home so much, you have no idea. But to them, it's like they wanna give the opportunity to tell you how it went before you tell them how to go with it.
How about that, Pastor?
You know, because...
Yeah, it's very interesting that she said that like that. She was able to hear them out first and then to find out what it is that they have on their heart. And then I heard her say earlier, you know, about that sounds like my story in that realm of saying that. And the testimony is very powerful, and it's not something that you should withhold from them. If there is someone that has a testimony, could be able to be beneficial to the person. And I think it's right on time. You know, we need more of that because she said, you know, it's just like going to talk to someone that have no clue about this particular issue, and then trying to tell you how to go about it. You see, and that's just like it's not fair to the person who's trying to tell the person how to go about it because they really don't know. And then here's a person but you don't want to hear from that person that knows. You see, it's just like the enemy said, don't let that person who really knows give you the testimony. Let that person don't know nothing about what's going on till you know. And that's just like, that's not good.
Right. That's right.
And one should be open. You're right. And that's beautiful, you know, that you put it in such a
and
way.
I must say, Pastor Dockery, that regardless of the testimony that's given, your delivery is still going to be what it's going to be, you know.
Oh, sure.
It's still going to be what it's going to be. It's just giving someone an opportunity to vent, to more like vent, and then getting that reassurance. And, you know, and the first thing you would say to a single mother is, you know, good job. You know, regardless of what they done went through or the child and took them through or they done took the children through, good job, first of all, because you still hold a title as a parent, as a mother, as a father. You still hold that title. Yes, sir.
John, let me tell you something. I was invited to be a presenter at the Tennessee School Social Workers, one of their conferences, right? And so I had a little breakout session, and we had all these professional social workers in the room. They were talking about issues that they face on a daily basis, right? And so I posed a question. I posed a question. If you left your school and you went into the neighborhood, who's the most valuable person there? Who has the greatest story to tell? And it, almost instinctively, they were saying, well, they don't know. That's why we need to be there, right? But the truth of the matter is they know things about their experience that unless you listen, you may never really understand. Now, you can have a general idea. Don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that.
Right, right.
But
you
learn how to approach and how to share even what you have when you stop and extend the courtesy of listening to other people's stories.
That's all everybody, especially kids, they screaming for attention. They be screaming for attention. And people be so busy living that they just ain't got time to listen. My 11-year-old, they was at the bus stop today when I went to go to the gym, and the bus was an hour and 20 minutes late. I made two trips to take all those kids to school today for the simple fact that we live in a community, so everybody could have walked home and told their parent, like, okay, you know, but they didn't. So I said, it's just up to me. You know, I prayed us there and came and got the other ones. But the kids just, they need somebody. They need to know somebody cares. And I'm just glad that I was able to do it, you know.
Yeah. Well, and so here's the thing. Here's the thing, Pastor. And as Pastor, this is what, so Don, let me tell you a little bit about what Pastor, I had an opportunity to observe Pastor Waller do on the streets. This cat would post up with a microphone. And like John in the wilderness, he talking to no structure, no particular structure. He had a tent. He did have a tent. I'll give him that. He was kind of like the children of Israel in the wilderness. They had tents and what have you, right? But I said that to say this is a raw way of allowing people to be comfortable in their environment. Now, don't get me wrong. Before you leave, what's important is that they come to understand the value of what you have to offer. But there's a starting point and there's an ending point. And Pastor, so what I'm hearing as we move forward, and this is what we strive to do, Don, as we go to various cities, is we don't want to assume that we know what's going on in your city better than you do. Now, I do a lot of research. I do a lot of research to understand crime and education and health disparities and things of that nature. But even at that, Don, there's a story that is peer to the individuals. If you cheat yourself of hearing that story, you won't even be able to be the most successful as you would like to be. And so that's what I appreciate about what you're saying tonight.
Yes, sir.
It is so critical, so critical. It is so critical. Let me do this. The number is 657-383-0944. Give us a call. We'll be happy to entertain your question or comments. We thank Miss Dawn, Richmond, Virginia, right, Dawn?
Yes, sir. You got that right.
All right. In the house.
In the building.
In the building.
That's right.
As always, thank Pastor Waller for his steadfastness in our dialogue discussion. Yeah. This month, we're focusing this month on starting to lay the groundwork, Don, for action, pro-action. So we know what the problem is, right? And we know who's suffering from the problem. So I would Thursday we have some potential guests that we'll bring on, and Pastor Waller has been very instrumental with that. They're going to be kind of talking about some things, and we hope to hear from them their ideas about how to move forward with a certain issue or problem, right? Because that's really what we need. And one of our regular callers used to say all the time, we need to see some action. We need to see some action. And sometimes people are looking for a silver bullet approach, and it may not be necessarily that approach. But, Don, if you're careful about your start, then you can ensure that you have a follow through on your finish. Because we need
right.
a victory.
My goodness.
We need a victory.
My goodness.
We need one like dead man need a coffin for a decent intimate. Have we got a witness?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Talking,
amen.
So, Pastor, let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question, and I want to kind of revert back to, because I know you were an athlete yourself. A lot of times people think if you put them in the military, Don, or you put them on an organized athletic team, that's the answer. They'll get disciplined. Is that enough, though?
No.
Not at all.
No. No, no, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Give me the balance.
I just now made
Give
amend.
Me the balance.
Yeah, I just made an amend to my coach, man. I think it took, I would say, a little over 40 years. You know, I've been carrying it around because I didn't carry out what he taught me to the fullness, you know.
Okay.
He's done his part. He coached me very well. Of course, you know, being athletic as I was when I grew up and in the community center, when I went there, I already knew how to play ball, but it was just the fundamentals
okay.
that he added.
Right.
And he felt like I was good enough to go anywhere with the game. And for many years, you know, I couldn't face him. I couldn't face him. Sometimes it still weighed on me. And so about almost a couple of years, where actually in 2016, they had something for me. They was honoring me for the work that I do in the city of Nashville on March
okay.
5th, 2016. And so I had a chance to see him at a ball game and say something to him. And after that, I found out that he was doing this for me. So I got in touch with him and asked him would he come. And he presented me with a basketball, to make a long story short, that comes from the Globetrotter, one of those balls that Matlock Limits had
okay.
autographed. But anyway, I confessed to him before the event, and man, I tell you, it was a relief because I knew that he was probably, when he watched ball games, he'd look at them guys play and probably say that I could have been on that court or I could have been on the baseball field. Just, you know, all that weight on me for all them years, man, and I tell you, it was tough. But that wasn't enough, man, I mean, to keep me from falling into that trap. And I say
right.
this to Ms. Don, and what she said earlier, it takes a village, is what I found out, and I think. Say that a lot. It takes a village to raise up a child, your children, man. And she said them kids was on the bus stop, if you will, and she had to take it upon herself to take them back and forth. It took her time to do it. But that, to me, man, I was rejoicing when she said that. If you don't mind, I with a vigilance the other day that they had for this guy that got killed on the bus stop, you know, on the city bus. I don't was what bus it was, but anyway, he got killed. So it was a young kid. They asked me, came over to me and asked me, say, can you come and share some scriptures with us? Man,
oh, wow.
It just overwhelmed me. It sounded like the pride was so strong that they came to me believing that I should know. If I don't know it, I should know it. And I agreed to go over the stuff I did. And after that, you know, I know they was dealing with it the best way that they could and doing the things that they do, young people, what they do, it's just what they do. And so they're taking pictures and things afterwards. They were taking pictures and things afterwards, and then I was in the back of them, and they said, let Pastor Rick come around in the front.
Okay.
And, you know, so I did, and they wanted me to take my phone so they can take a picture of them with me and for me to show it to the church that I teach. Why would they want me to show it to the church that I teach? I wondered about that.
Okay.
No, I don't want to show all of it. I know what I'm doing, but they wanted people to know that somebody cared.
That's right.
It sounded like to me that's what
that's
I was
right.
doing. Don was reaching out to them kids, showing that somebody cared about them, wasn't going to go no further until she seen those kids get back to where they needed to go to, and that was to school. So, or to get back from school, either way. If somebody have to step up, and man, that overwhelmed me, and it caused me to even want to go either further off into the community to speak the gospel with or without a tent now, Pastor, because they're crying out, man. They're crying
out.
They're
with
or without. I followed up. Yeah, I followed up and I went in the community Sunday. Sunday evening, I went in the community without a tent
on this one
because I wanted to let them know how much appreciate them reaching out, crying out for help, you know. And it was amazing.
The beauty of your testimony is, and maybe sometimes, and Don as well, it's not necessarily in what you say, just the fact that you're there and they know they can rely on you, you know.
That goes a long way.
Yeah,
that's divine.
Sometimes we look for the right, mm-hmm. and I know I'm guilty of that, Don. Sometimes you go to place and you're trying to figure out what should I say, and it's not all the time what you should say as it is just be there.
Just be there.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
And allow. What'd you say, Don?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I said sometimes, you know, they relying on you to take over, take the wheel. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's a balancing act.
Right.
What I'm saying is, if we come with a preconceived notion, now sometimes you do have to take control, Don, in order to maintain order and structure, right, in the environment. I don't mean that. I'm not trying to diminish that need, but. It is necessary at some point to have the wisdom to allow the circumstances to dictate the best way to move and break the ice in those type of situations. Let me take a minute to recognize Randy McLean. Welcome to Facebook group. Thanks for checking us out. And Mr. David Shelton, thank you for joining us. Feel free to give us a call here. 657-383-0944. We still have about 30 minutes before we end our episode tonight. Be happy to entertain your questions, your comments, and there are a few other people. I'd be remiss if I didn't, you know. I think Mr. Fitzgerald may be tuned in with us here. We welcome you. Pastor Kennedy, Sean Kennedy, it looks like he's, and Bishop Marcus Campbell, I believe, may be tuning in with us there, Renelda Ross and Pastor Horton, Pastor Kevin Walker, if you're there, feel free to give us a call here, 657-383-0944. Question, comment, anything. I don't think Don minds sharing with you. Do you, Don?
That's all right.
Not at all.
Okay, in this last segment, Don, can I pick on you for a little bit?
Pick me.
Okay, all right. So, obviously, you went above and beyond as a single mother to not only do for your sons, but someone else's son. Do you think that with all of that, it's okay to say, well, we don't need a father? They don't necessarily have to have a male figure. Even as a surrogate father.
No, that is not okay. These young men need fathers. They need fathers.
Okay.
They need men to show them, you know, to guide them, to teach them, to give them show them how to be men. You know, a woman can't teach a man how to be a man. They can't teach a boy how to be a man. They can't. It's impossible for any woman to say, yeah, I taught my son to be a man. It's untrue. That's not true at all. He watched a TV show. He saw his principal. He saw his friend daddy, his friend uncle or somebody. But no. As a woman, sir.
Don, I appreciate that because here's another challenge, though, Don. Even if you or some other lady said, well, let me find a man to teach my son how to be a man. And when you found him, all you realized it was just a chronologically grown male who had matured and really don't know themselves how to be a responsible man. You find yourself asking yourself, my goodness, what have I done? They are a deleterious influence on my child. What I'm getting at is, culturally, Pastor, with all due respect to brethren, we have to learn to unify ourselves in such a way that we can present ourselves to Don and other mothers as an option for their sons that are trustworthy and reliable. And I'm not talking about a fly-by-night thing. I'm not talking about a fly-by-night thing, you know. But we're and listen, often what happens is some people get caught up emotionally, and I was talking about this in my monologue. You have to learn to control your emotions. They get caught up emotionally, and they wind up trying to get with the mama. It ain't about that. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Our goal is to make a successful young man. And there are certain characteristics. That's what we're talking about tonight, the characteristics of a successful young man. There are certain characteristics that you have to display and model for him. And one of those is to control and subdue your passions.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Man.
Yes, sir.
Even if you got a biological dad, Don, who is not under the roof with their children, and they need to be in the life of their children, it ain't about you getting back with the mama physically right now. You messed that up already. And maybe there's hope for that, but right now it's about you getting yourself together so at least your children can benefit from your presence and your involvement. Then when you get mad with the mama, you don't want to be bothered with the children. I'm gonna help me, Holy Ghost.
That's how I go. Amen, for real. That's how I be too. I can say like my oldest son once told me once he after he did his basic training in the Air Force, he said, "You know, Mom," he was like, "You know, my dad want a dad for me. He ain't teaching me how to be no man. But he taught me what kind of man not to be."
Okay.
That's what he taught me. And I mean, I was like, this young man right here is so special. He is so special. He is something special.
I like that.
Okay.
I like that.
Now, here's what we build on that, Dawn. Here's what we build on that. What he should know is you got a lesson from him, even if it wasn't a conventional appropriate lesson. But at the same time, you don't ever want to erase the fact that you came from him, right?
That's right. You
because
can't erase
you it. Never want to get to a point that your offspring try to erase you from existence. Are you
exactly, because it's a revolving it's a revolving door. If you do it, you know it'll be okay.
There you go. And a lot of people are successful moving on from their pain and the loss of their biological fathers. But they have this secret subconscious anger and frustration that goes with them as well. You don't want to pass that on to your children.
Right.
So the more you're able to come to grips with that and to resolve that. And Pastor, I've said this many times. If I fail to do the right thing by my children, I have to come understanding that I made a mistake. And I have to make room for them to let me know how that has affected them. Now, they don't give them a right to be disrespectful. I'm not saying that. But at the same time, I have to realize things are not perfect. And we got to work on rebuilding this relationship. You going to say something?
Yeah, you got to remember. You got to remember also, you know, why I'm saying that is that correction, there's nothing wrong with that. It's good for the soul. You know, godly correction is great gain. And you can gain a lot from that, you know, listen up that, hey, I failed. I didn't get it, man.
Sure.
I mean, I missed it. I missed the mark. And that that actually happened. And that, when I heard, you know, I guess a couple of minutes ago about somebody got to be out to try to reach these kids and teach them how to be a man, I think that's what Sister Don was saying. And in doing so, because they, one day is going to have to do the same thing and to pass it down by way of teaching them how to be a man would be more effective than not, because it's
that's
better to have a father there than not have one there, especially if you need him. And I myself, you know, I didn't have one coming up at a certain age. I mean, around about 10, you know, it was no longer my stepfather had passed. And now I was out there seeing everything, you know, started to do everything that I was doing. And I was a terrible example. I got to say that. It's nothing short at the mark of being I was a terrible example for my whole community, to me. You know what I mean? I know that God actually forgave me for what I didn't know. But to me, man, that was a sad example that I set, man. I mean, when I say sad, I mean terrible. And it's all because of the trap. You know, that wicked,
right.
that wicked one who placed that trap there, man, you know, I'm not even blaming them. Whoever they put, whoever put the trap there, I'm not even blaming them. I'm saying I take responsibility for whatever I had a chance to experience back there, man. If I rated, I say it was terrible what I did. You know,
okay.
terrible example. And
okay.
so, you know, that's what it's. We need fathers, man. We do. We need fathers to reach young brothers, man, in one form or another, whether it's a biological father or someone that's there just trying to raise up, you know, kids.
Well, now let me
whole.
Let me say this. Let me say this, Pastor. We don't need a pair of britches. We need fathers. Amen.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Amen.
So they have to humble themselves to making sure they have the characteristics of a father. Otherwise, it's
example,
better
man.
That you not expose an infant to your pneumonia, because you can cause that infant whose immune system is weak and frail to die from your pneumonia.
That's why Don House on quarantine. I don't play with it. I'm on quarantine. Been there, done it. You know, right now I'm just doing me and loving me and letting my God show me how to love myself and my babies right now. And He'll send me, or we will meet when that one comes around. So I'm not
Well, you got to know that when it comes to your children, though, Don, the focus is not trying to use them as bait to hook up. Right, and I think that's what you're saying.
Right.
But you definitely want to expose them to every positive example that you can, but you don't want to use them as bait for hookup, because that's when the backfire on you. But you know, there are good people who may not understand. And before my dad passed, he used to say to me all the time, "Well, you got to be careful because you don't want to offend nobody to make them think you better than them." And I always said to him, Don, it's not that I'm any better, because I was supposed to have been dead 35 years ago in the streets of Chicago. But for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here today. You understand what I'm saying? And for the rough lessons I had to learn and overcome in the street, it brought me to a point now. So I realized that I don't care who you are. If you don't recognize the truth, you ain't going to be free. Is that right, Pastor?
That's right. You're definitely not going to be free, man. I mean, there's no sugarcoating to that, man. No, you're not going to be free, brother. I mean, if you don't know the truth, how can you be free with all this that the world offers you, man? There's no way you can be free and you don't, you know, you think you're free. You know, you can feel like, you can sound like you're free, but it's not mean you're free, man. I'm telling you, it's sad, man. Being an example, is a good. We need good examples. That's what we do.
Absolutely.
We do,
Pastor, I went to the mirror, Pastor, and I said, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the finest of them all?"
Yeah.
Even though the mirror told me, "Done, I look good," I still got to face the truth, don't I?
That's right.
You're right. You sure. You're definitely right. You got to face it.
As you said in the beginning, the truth. Sell shit, you free.
What we want to be able to do is to present our young men to society and say, "Behold, our beloved sons, in whom we are well pleased." Is anything wrong with that?
To see young men. Man, it'll be outstanding to see that, man. I'm telling you, man. I believe it can be done myself, but it's just a fact.
What? I do too, I think so, too.
Yeah.
All over America.
Yes, sir.
I keep seeing the news done, and I hear all these stories, and I get articles and things of that nature. And I'm saying to myself, there's a missing variable here. And that missing variable is somebody being honest and not being on some stuff. Have some kind of angle, you know what I mean? But coming straight, that's where the missing piece is.
That's it.
And And at the end of the day, if we don't take time to assess ourselves and where we are, right, and what we're dealing with, you cheat yourself of the opportunity to really have a good standing, you know, when you come.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if you come to Richmond. And I mean, we come to Richmond, Don, and I ain't got my shoes on.
That's right. Oh, you
right.
need them running shoes on.
Do the ground get cold there, Don?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Is it dirty on the ground, Don? I need to bring my traveling shoes there, don't I?
Yes, you do. I'm telling you, yes, you do. You got to bring them walking
shoes.
Well,
I better check the weather. I better see what the weather's like. Amen? Is that right?
Amen.
And
that's right.
I better make sure, Pastor, I got enough gas to keep myself going. I mean, that don't make no sense to nobody, though. That don't make no sense to nobody.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you got to make sure of that.
At the end of the day, by taking inventory. And see, this is what I mean by, for young boys growing up, they have to learn these lessons to take inventory of themselves, what it is that
yes.
they do best, where their weaknesses are. Because a lot of times young guys go out and they want Don to have recognition. They want to be positively spotlighted. But if you don't
yes,
know what
do.
You're doing, you make that attempt, you fall on your face, then you feel like there's something wrong with you. Well, the truth was, you weren't properly prepared from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it ultimately caused you
that's
to
it.
Think that you're wrong. Something is wrong with you. You know?
Right.
So
mm-hmm. yeah.
It'd just be amazing, like you said. Like you just said something, and I was so inside conversation, and after I watched my baby coming, lotion up and stuff, I said, I didn't even have to go tell him to take his bath. He went and did it on his own. He came upstairs and lotioned his body and put on some deodorant because I raised them right.
Right.
And it is just amazing. Yeah. And that's what I was trying to tell you. You know, you let somebody tell their testimony and then your delivery is still going to be the same. It's still going to be the same delivery.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, I did have some people say to me, I was in, I believe it was Columbus at the time, Mississippi, and a mother said to me, she says, when I finished my presentation, she said, it sounds like you know my son. You know my son? I said, no, ma'am, I don't. But I told her, I don't know your son personally.
No.
However, there are certain characteristics that are consistent across urban America. And it doesn't matter where you are. The truth of the matter is there are certain conditions that are caused by certain actions, and these are the reactions to those actions. Now, thank God we've studied this, and we've come up with some assumptions about how we can be proactive and reactive as well at the same time. But the truth of the matter is, you know, it doesn't make you a bad person to say, okay, here's where I need to grow and to do better. And what some things I need to change. So I said to her, I hope that your son, like everybody else that we're aiming to go to, will be able to appreciate their need to change. But what's most important is that on the ground, there needs to be some basis. I'm going to go back to the church. We got 12 minutes. I'm going to go back to the church. One thing that can be very useful in this whole process is for each congregation to determine that we're going to establish an approach that has some sort of empirical basis. So in other words, there's some evidence behind successes in these steps, right? And that we're going to make this an active part of our ministry. Just like we raise offerings, have Bible study, and whatever else you do, this is an active part of our ministry. Can you imagine the change that would happen in some of the ghettos across America?
Oh, my. That sounds like you care, basically. That's what this, you're extending care when you do that.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what you're doing.
Here's the problem. I know what the problem is going to be, Don. I know what the problem is going to be. Ego going to say, who's going to get the credit?
Oh, man.
Somebody's
that's
ego going to
right there.
Well, who's going to get the credit, huh?
Uh-huh.
Now, so the first thing we have to do, Pastor, is we have to go in secret, and we have to wash our hands of the superfluities of life, and we got to ask God to bring us on one accord. So when we come out, people hear in our intentions, and there's no malice. Amen, somebody.
Yes, sir.
There's no ill intent in our hearts. I'm talking about me now. I'm talking about Doctor first. See, then when Pastor Wall and I walk together, the Bible said, "Where there are two or three gathered, what now?" Anybody ever read that?
Gathered together in His name.
He'll be there. Don, I didn't come to preach.
That's the only one he's in the midst, man.
When he's in the midst.
He's there.
But Don, you know the devil show up too sometimes, don't you?
Sure.
Yeah.
He always lurking somewhere. He always lurking, but we ain't letting him in. So.
Hey, Job thought when he was taking his boys to go before the Lord, hey, he thought he had it going on, but what he didn't realize, well, maybe he did realize, the devil was there too. And God saw him, hey, man, where you going, Satan? You know, man, you know, I'm just going around and checking folk out, seeing who was what, who I can mess with. Huh?
That's it, bro.
And watch what God did, Pastor. He said, have you considered my servant Job? You mean you're going to give him to me for free?
Yeah. Put it on his mind.
Put it on his mind.
Yes, sir. Yes, he did.
Here's the good news, Don. Because Job wasn't shucking and jiving, and he kept his worship to God 100, kept it real. God wasn't worried about Job failing.
No.
Worried about Job. Now.
Isn't that amazing?
These characteristics that we're talking about can make a difference in a person's life. Can I review them right quickly before we get out of here? We got a few minutes before it's time to go. And we got anybody want to give us a call, 657-383-0944. Excuse me, got about 8 minutes here. But let me just review them right quickly. First step in the approach, in the scientific approach, is to make observations of your children, your son's skills, and motivational drive. All right, based on those observations, form a question. What skill should I focus on developing for? Then form the question from that question. Raise a hypothesis, make an assumption about who he is, what is he likely to turn out to be. Next, from that hypothesis, conduct an experiment. In other words, go out your way to do it, to put him in an environment and test certain things and test him to see where he is and how he comes out. Then next, note those things through a personal journal or through books or recording him in certain activities and what have you, so you can see his growth and development and he can see it. And then lastly, draw the conclusion, all right, son, this is what you're best at. Let's make sure we put money, we put time, and we put emphasis on these things.
Yes.
And you can find success.
No.
So then those four key things is ensuring that in his growth and development, there is a focused and deliberate approach to spiritual instruction, pro-social instruction, physical conditioning, and scholastic aptitude. I'm convinced that with that formula, that's a starting point. You may have to put some, but that's a starting point that all over America can make a difference. Now, the question is, what conditions as parents must you change about yourself and about where you live? That's the real question. What can you do better to make sure your children have the environment and opportunities necessary for their success? Because the characteristics are there. The question mm-hmm. is, how do you avail yourself to them? But
you gotta make time. And I just ask that you know, three words that a child must hear every day is, I love you. Like, it makes all the difference in their life. They got to hear it. They got to know that they are loved. If don't nobody else tell them, if people tell them for the rest of the day, you ain't nothing. You ain't this. You ain't that. But my mama loved me. My daddy loved me. My grandma loved me. My granddaddy loved me. I'm loved.
That's powerful right there, Don.
Yes.
When the devil starts telling you ain't gonna be nobody. No, man, ain't what my daddy said. Ain't what my mama said. My mama said,
I'm all right. You better believe it. You better believe it.
I'm gonna say I'm gonna make it.
Wow. That's right.
Wow. What are you gonna say, Pastor?
I said that's evidence right there to know you was able to say it out loud and be proud about it, about my mother like me, my dad like me, you know. I'm loved by them, and that's more than enough, you know. When you have somebody that like you, they will start loving you, and they admit to it, you know, you got it then at that point. You know, and when you have your parents to say every day that you talk with them and leave their presence, man, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to extend to them.
I tell them all day long. They ain't sick of it. I have a son that actually is into music and his songs. In his songs, he talk about how much his mama called him, how many times, telling him to be careful, and she'll call him and say how much she love. I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I told you. I ain't saved them. They saved me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's,
it sounds like you've
amazing.
Made it your business. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pastor.
I was saying that it's something ironic about this, because I remember when I first tried drugs, I tried it, I liked it, I started to love it, and I didn't want to do without it, and I found out that I couldn't do without it. So what's wrong with saying that I love my kids and to be able to know, hey, I tried it, there's nothing wrong with it. It's a good thing. I went from liking it to loving it. You know, it's like I can't do without it. I got to see it, whether they're doing bad or good. I'm still going to say that, you know. I know she's probably saying, man, he just got through doing this and that. And doesn't mean they tell me he loved me. So, discipline.
Oh, yeah. They my drugs. They my addiction. They my vice right there. They are what I use every day.
That's true.
I use them. To take me to the next level, I use them.
That's good. Okay. I like that.
Man, Pastor Father done messed with the time, Don. We got 3 minutes.
No. That was quick. It was beautiful. Yeah. I thank you. I thank God for bringing you to share your wisdom, to, you know, give some pointers out here, because we learn each day, grown or not, we learn something every day. Even though I raise kids, I'm still raising. I'm going to still help other people's kids after all my raise. And I just thank you for being here. And God letting you be here, Pastor Wallace, Pastor Dorsey. I just thank you both for allowing me to, you know, express and vent.
Well, thank you for being with us. You bring a very important aspect to the conversation. I appreciate that as well. We're looking forward to getting better. That's all, and to growing. That's really what it's a growth process for us all. That's the proper way to look. That's the proper way to look at it. Let's see. This coming Thursday, Pastor Waller have a special treat for us. We look forward to have some ladies on as a part of our panel. That's going to kind of give us some ideas about how we can move forward with even the battle that they have faced in the past. And I hope, especially in this age of women saying that they've been misused and so forth, that that would be substantive to somebody. So 7 o'clock p.m. this Thursday. Please join us. Please join us here on Talk Street. And Pastor Waller and those ladies will be here. We'll be announcing that. So, Don, I hope you can join us if you're able to.
Oh,
I understand people work and things of that nature.
Sounds good. Sounds like it's going to be a good show there.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Okay, well, what we're going to do is we got about a minute and a half here, Pastor Waller. Thanks for playing with the clock, Pastor Waller.
Yes, sir, brother. I tell you, it's amazing. But go ahead, Pastor. Go on, get out.
Go ahead, finish your talk right quick. Give me 20 seconds, Pastor, right quickly.
They say, can two walk together except they be agreed upon? Amen. So we know that we're walking together on one
accord.
All
right. Yeah,
on
man. That, I'm going to leave with a special message to a son. And we'll see you guys Thursday night, 7 o'clock p.m., right here on Talk Straight. This has been your host, Reverend Dockery, and we've talked from the thought, characteristics of a successful young man.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I's been a climbing on and reaching laddens and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you...